Welcome to the IVF Nutritionist Podcast. I'm your host, Susan Ports, RD, creator of Fertility Nutrition Academy and IVF Mama-to-be. My mission is to empower women on their IVF journey to optimize your fertility without cutting out your favorite foods. I want you to realize that there is more to life than driving yourself crazy trying to get pregnant, and that you, in fact, can get pregnant without taking a meal full of supplements, cutting out sugar, gluten, and dairy, and only using clean beauty products. While I am a medical professional, this podcast is informational only and not meant as a substitute for individual medical advice. Now, let's get this party started. Hey, 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 welcome to another episode of the IVF Nutritionist. Susan here. I'm super excited to get back into the swing of recording podcast episodes for you. So it has been a while. I recorded a guest podcast episode back in December. So if you haven't listened to that, you can definitely go back and listen to the episode with Anna. It's super good. But before I jump in and start dropping some new episodes, I just wanted to give you a little bit of an update because this podcast has definitely been a little bit on hold for the last 6 months. And a huge part of that is because if you've been following me or if you're new here, we welcomed our IVF miracle back in the beginning of August of 2023. And it's been an adjustment. So I'm kind of just here today to kind of provide a little bit of a life update, how things have been going. And also, let you know what you can expect moving forward with this podcast. And also just to let you know, if you have any questions, comments, concerns, please always reach out to me on Instagram. That's where I'm the most active. So you can DM me at the.ivf.nutritionist. And I'm always happy to chat with you there. I definitely get quite a few DMs about male factor infertility, which I don't mind talking about at all, because a lot of what I get in my DMs about male factor is it's just not common or not as common as some of female factors, or it's not talked about. I think that's the biggest thing. It's not talked about the way female infertility is talked about. So a lot of times, if male factor infertility is diagnosed, a lot of women end up feeling pretty alone. And I remember when we were diagnosed with that, and when I was going through it, I remember searching to find other people experiencing it. And it was hard. A lot of people had more female side diagnoses, and it was just hard to find someone with a male factor diagnosis that related. So I'm always happy to chat with you about that over in the DMs, and help you know that you're not alone. So anyways, I wanted to kind of jump on here, share a little bit what was going on. So after our long awaited pregnancy, our IVF miracle, of course, showed up 5 days past her due date, which in perfect fashion makes sense. So that was a while waiting for that, to happen. And I definitely opened to sharing a little bit about our birth story. Definitely did not go the way that I had hoped or planned. I think the hardest thing about getting pregnant after infertility is just you have a lot of expectations for what it's going to be like, what you want your experience to be like. And same thing with birth. You have a lot of expectations because you've waited a really long time. And that definitely happened to me. I had expectations for what pregnancy was going to be like, and it was definitely nothing like what I expected. And then same thing with my birth process. I had expectations and plans for what I had for my birth. And, there was a part of me that was willing to be flexible, but there was also a part of me that was I guess just kind of afraid of like what would happen in the birth process. That's the other thing that I feel like I noticed in pregnancy, and in birth after infertility, that I just don't know if you don't experience like infertility that you feel the same way, but I definitely felt, I was definitely nervous. Like, I just didn't want anything to go wrong. I was nervous that, like, like the other shoe would drop kind of thing. And I mean, while I would say like our preg like I had a healthy pregnancy, it was definitely like we still had things come up in the pregnancy that were unexpected. And same thing with my like labor and delivery. So I actually started labor naturally and it was like progressing super quickly. And then I got the epidural, which took forever for me to get the epidural because I couldn't find a vein. And after I got the epidural, my labor really slowed down. And there was a little bit of miscommunication, from some of the providers, which I was disappointed about. The one thing that we did that I do not regret at all, and I would highly, highly recommend, once you get that positive test, is to hire a doula. I was like on the fence about it. And then ultimately, later on in my pregnancy, I decided that that was probably the best route for me. And so we hired a doula, and I do not regret that. She was there the entire time I was in labor. She stayed. I ended up having a C-section. So she stayed through the C-section and in like an hour or two after. And then headed out. But it was really, really comforting for me to like have someone else that was like helping guide me and like remind me in that time like what like my goal was. And I think ultimately, like when it comes down to it, like my goal was to just like get her here safely and have nothing happen. And I think infertility kind of gives you this notion of like you just don't know, like you just don't want anything bad to happen. And that's ultimately what happened. To me, it was like I just didn't want anything bad to happen. And while I was like laboring and things were like slowing down, at one point, like her heart rate dropped in like the dead middle of the night. So, like, I was having like a 10-minute long contraction, which I could not feel because I had the epidural. And it caused her heart rate to decrease. And like all these people like flew into my room. They gave me a shot to stop the contraction and her heart rate recovered, thank God. But like it was just very frightening. And I think after that moment, I was pretty much like, I'm done. Like one, I was exhausted. I basically like didn't sleep for like 2 full days. And I was so exhausted that I just needed her to get here safely, and I just wasn't sure anymore that like my body could physically do it, to be honest. And like that is like really hard to admit, and that was also like really disappointing for me, because I kind of wanted to experience like natural labor and delivery. Well, I did experience natural labor, let me tell you. I did experience natural labor. I labored for quite a while without an epidural, and then I decided to get it. And of course, now I wish I wouldn't have got it because I think that that impacted my labor. But I digress. My point is that she made it here safely. The transition into motherhood, has been so many things. And that's like definitely something I guess I just want to share here is that like the transition of going from like IVF to then getting pregnant was weird. It was so weird. Like I went through infertility for so long, and I said this like to multiple people, but like, and this sounds so weird, but I was so good at infertility. I knew at like we've been going through it. By the time we got pregnant, it'd been 5.5 years. Like I was so good at it. I was so good at like handling my emotions. Like I hated it, but I was like, I was just good at this is how I do it. And then I got pregnant and I was like, I don't know anything about this. And I think part of that was like I had gotten to the point, to be completely honest, and maybe you feel this way too, but I had gotten to the point where I kind of stopped thinking about like what it would be like to get pregnant. Like I stopped thinking about like what I would do if I was pregnant. We stopped talking about names. We stopped talking about like like what we would put in the nursery. I mean, I just wasn't thinking about anything related to pregnancy, motherhood, nothing. Like I had completely pushed it out of my mind. And I think when you're going through infertility, that's honestly probably really common. And that it, on some level, I think it depends on how you're approaching it, but that does tend to happen. So I really hadn't thought about it. So that transition was hard. And then when she was like finally here, like to be completely honest with you guys, like she's 6 months old now. I still look at her in disbelief. Like I cannot believe that she's here every day. And I get to be her mom and I get to take care of her and like do all these really fun things with her. And that is just amazing. Now, don't get me wrong. Is it hard? It's so hard. It's so much harder than I ever thought that it would be. And there's like different levels of hard. But I definitely think that after going through infertility, you do have a different outlook on motherhood and you do have a different outlook on like how you want to approach things. And I definitely would say like I'm trying so hard not to take it for granted and to like really like soak in these moments because like the other thing too is that I have been thinking a lot lately about the fact that so if you followed my story, which if you don't know my story, you're more go back and listen to my fertility journey episodes. But we don't have any additional embryos like frozen, which at the time of recording this podcast, honestly, like there's a lot going on in the US regarding IVF and the Supreme Court stuff just came out about in Alabama. So yeah, I mean, I guess there's like a part of me that's like, I mean, thankful I don't have to worry about my embryos. But all that to be said, we don't have any additional embryos, and I just don't know that at this point in our life, like I don't know that we would do IVF again. And that's not because like I'm not so incredibly grateful. It's more just like the tax on my body, the financial implications of doing it. Honestly, I can get over the financial implications of it. But the how much it took out of me, like physically and emotionally, would really take away from my ability to be a mom. And that's the part that I'm not excited about. So the moral of the story is like, I don't know that we're gonna have any more kids. So she might be like our one and only. And so with that being said, like there are things that like as I'm going through, like as she's outgrowing things and putting them away, it's just a very interesting feeling because I just don't know if we're gonna use them again. And I don't know if I should be keeping this stuff or just getting rid of it. And that's so weird. I don't even know how to put words to it, but anyways, so this past fall has really been, since our little girl joined us, has really been a lot about just navigating the newness of motherhood, and realizing that once you get through infertility and IVF and you get into motherhood, like the same kinds of like culture BS stuff that I've been like calling on the fertility world is like it comes up in motherhood in different ways. So like re-navigating that when I like really identified that in the fertility world has also been very interesting. We also like went through a time period, to be perfectly honest, and I'm telling you this because I want you to know like it's amazing, but it's not all like rainbows and roses too. Like after our daughter was born, my husband was home for like 10 days and then he had to go back to Pennsylvania where he was working and finishing up a job out there. And he went back and forth for 7 weeks. So basically, I was single parenting a newborn the first like 9 weeks of her life. And he would come home on the weekends, but it was hard. It was really, 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 really hard. on a lot of levels. And part of the reason why it was hard was because, like, after going through infertility and IVF, like, you have this expectation of what it's going to look like when that baby comes. And I, nowhere in the plan in my head was it that my husband wasn't going to be here 24/7. Or at least, like, working in the state and coming home at night. So to be honest with you, like, that was really, really hard. And I think just, like, coming out of that, like, I'm still coming out of the fog of that. And that's kind of why a lot of my things, like this podcast, have, like, fallen to the wayside, because I needed to take care of myself, and I still need to take care of myself. It's this, I'm in this new season of, like, figuring out how to balance everything. Before, I could, like, work whenever I wanted, stop whenever I needed to, but I don't, that's not how it is anymore. And I really want to make sure that I'm dedicating time towards my little girl, because she is important, and I waited so long for her to be here that I really want to take as much advantage of it as I can, and, like, spend as much time with her and nurturing her as much as I possibly can. So that's what this season has been like. We've had a few other things going on as well. So it's just been a time of, like, transition. Maybe you can relate to that. But I'm looking forward to just getting in a little bit of a schedule, although, to be honest, like, schedule routine doesn't exist very much with a baby. But that's okay. So if you have any questions for me, or want me to talk, like, more about a specific topic, always shoot me up in the DMs. And otherwise, I will talk to you next time.